This morning, Clinton will be preaching to us from Luke 11, the first 13 verses. So please turn to Luke 11. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation.'" And he said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me, the door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So far the reading.
Thanks, Andrew. As Andrew said, we're going to be considering this passage in Luke 11 today, so it'd be really good to keep your Bible open there. On a bit of a personal note, I just really wanted to express my thankfulness to you as a church for your support and your encouragement and your prayers over the last couple of weeks with Pippa's death. It's been really appreciated, and we're really thankful for that. Just in terms of the road ahead, we as a family are heading to New Zealand later on this week on Friday for the funeral on Saturday, and then returning early the week after, so we'd appreciate you praying for that. That has meant that this series that we're doing in Luke has kind of been thrown everywhere and all out of place, and we'll kind of figure out where that lands over the next couple of weeks. Next Sunday, really thankful to Andre because he has volunteered to preach next Sunday in the morning service. And I'm really thankful to the person who's going to volunteer to lead the service in the next few days. And I'll be contacting a few people about that. But thank you to whoever you're going to be. Let's pray, shall we, before we get into this passage here. Lord God, we thank you that you are the speaking God. You not only hear our prayers, but you speak to us through your word and by your Holy Spirit. And we ask, Father, that you would speak loudly and clearly into our lives today, into our minds that we would understand, but into our hearts so that we would be transformed. By the work of your Holy Spirit, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the other day, I had the radio on in the car and I was listening to an interview of the former Tasmanian Senator, Jackie Lambie. And the reason that Jackie Lambie was being interviewed is that she has brought out a book, an autobiography outlining her life and particularly her rise to and her time in the federal parliament. Now, she's not alone in this. As the interviewer noted, this is becoming increasingly popular for former politicians to do. To write books, to write stories about their rise to power and their time in office. And really, it's not just politicians either, is it? We have it with sports people. We have it with celebrities. We have it with business people. We have it with artists. They write something of their life so they can share it with the rest of us. And we read them. We read these stories of people's lives and what they have done and what has happened to them. Now, there might be lots of reasons for that, but one of the reasons that we read these books is because we hope. We hope that in them we will pick up something useful for ourselves. If that's what they did, if that's how they lived, and this is what happened to them, maybe there is something in there I can copy, I can imitate, I can take on, and the same results will come for us. Now that is a little bit of the thought of the disciples here in Luke chapter 11. They have seen something special and unique in Jesus. Not because he's written them a story, not because he's got an autobiography, but because they are spending their every day with him. We've been looking at some of the stories from Luke chapter 9 as Jesus makes his way towards Jerusalem. As he goes along the way and he teaches his disciples what it means to be his follower. And so for Luke 9, we saw that he says, if you want to follow me, you've got to deny yourself and you've got to take up your cross. That our way, our path, is the same as his. It's the way of glory through suffering. In Luke chapter 10, we saw that Jesus teaches his disciples, that he helps them understand that they are on mission with him and for him. And he does them by sending them out on this short-term mission trip, this scary trip. He even says it's like sheep thrown out amongst the wolves to announce the good news of the kingdom. Now here in Luke 11, Jesus teaches them about prayer. But he does so at their request. If you have a look there at verse 2, or verse 1, they say to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. They've seen something in the life of Jesus, the pattern, the habit of Jesus, that they want to now imitate. Now, this morning, we're not actually going to focus on the model prayer which Jesus gave disciples. The prayer that is there in verses 2 through to 4. We're not going to do that because it's not important or it's not relevant. It most definitely is. And I would actually encourage you in this coming week to read through that as a model prayer, as a way and as things that Jesus teaches disciples to pray for and about. And maybe we can do that asking the question, are these the things that I am praying for that are priorities in my prayer life? But what we do want to focus on this morning are the two stories that Jesus tells afterwards. Two stories that he tells us to teach us, one, about ourselves, about who we are as praying people, addressing the questions of how we pray, and then secondly, about the God to whom we pray. Who is he? And why does he answer our prayers? And if we've got points, they're it this morning. So let's start with the first story that Jesus tells there, starting at verse 5. And it's a story about a friend who comes around after midnight asking for some food to share with his traveler, And really, this story is addressing the question of how do we pray? How much, how often, and with what sort of attitude? Is prayer like eating 3 squares a day plus the occasional snack in between? Or is prayer like sleeping, one big one that lasts you for 24 hours and maybe a little nap in the afternoon? Is prayer like breathing all of the time? Do we pray for things timidly? Lord, maybe could you perhaps sometime do this? Or super boldly, Lord, I claim this in the name of Jesus. Give it to me. How do we approach God in prayer? Well, the story that Jesus tells us about this friend coming after midnight, it's a really well-known one, but it's actually a little bit complicated. Now, we understand the scenario, don't we? Here's a guy who has these traveling friends come and stay with him late at night. And he wants to be hospitable to them. He needs to be hospitable to them. And he realizes that he only has one option, his mate down the road. And he knows he's going to be a pain, and he knows it's not convenient, but he goes anyway. And he knocks on the door. And we get the reaction of his mate inside. It's late, the door's bolted, everyone's in bed, everyone's resting peacefully. He doesn't really want to get up. And we even know why he does it. Have a look there at verse 8. We know why he doesn't do it to start with. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything, because he is his friend. He doesn't answer his request because he is his friend, but for some other reason. But because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. Because of his boldness, because of his brashness, because of his insistence, he finally relents and gets up and gives him what he asks for. It's like the parents who've just had enough of the nagging, enough of the questioning, just to keep the kids quiet. Yes, okay, we'll do it. Just to give me a little bit of peace. Now, the easiest way to understand the story would be, not that I want to tell Jesus how to tell his stories, but the easiest way it would be able to say, if this friend does it for this reason, how much more will God give us what we ask for because he loves us? Wouldn't that be like the easiest way to understand the story? But it doesn't say that. It says that the friend answers because of the request of boldness, confidence, persistence, of impudence. You see, this little story is not actually teaching us about the God who answers prayer. The next story is going to do this. It's teaching us about the way that we should pray. Boldly, confidently, like desperate hosts wanting to be hospitable, with one and with one option only, taking our prayers boldly and expectantly and hopefully to our Heavenly Father. Sometimes we're tempted to think, aren't we, that prayer is sort of casual, every now and then, kind of when I get really, really desperate and I've got no other option. But that's not what Jesus is teaching us here. Boldly, persistently, continually pray to our Heavenly Father. Listen to some of these verses from throughout the New Testament, because I think it's telling. Ephesians 6 verse 18. Pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. James 5 verse 13. If anyone is in trouble, pray. Luke 18. Pray and do not lose heart. Philippians 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but present your requests to God. Colossians 4 verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5, pray continually. Acts 2, verse 42, they devoted themselves to prayer. Do we get the picture here? When it talks about prayer in the New Testament, it talks about prayer as ongoing, every day, bold, continual, bringing our prayers and requests to God. There is nothing that is too big to bring before God in prayer. We can pray for the conversion of people, that people will move from darkness and death to life and light. We can pray for the conversion of entire families and entire communities. In fact, entire countries. We can boldly ask God to step in cases of injustice and oppression. Pray that God would remove people from power who do not serve Him, who oppress others. Pray that He will cease wars between nations. Nothing is too big to bring to God. We can pray for small things that, well, other people might seem small or insignificant in our lives. We can pray when we're faced with a temptation. We can pray that God would give us, provide us that way out, and He would give us the strength to take it. We can pray when we have a conversation with somebody else who doesn't know Jesus yet. We can pray that God would give us the right words to say to them to help them understand a little bit more about the gospel. We can pray as we speak to each other and to encourage each other and to lift each other up. We can pray that God would give us the right words and the right tone and the compassion and concern that we need to encourage each other. If we're having a conflict in our marriage and we know that the next words matter, we can pray that God gives us those right words to say that will bring peace and healing and restoration. We can pray for our daily needs, all those things that would concern us in a day. We pray for those who are struggling. All of it we can boldly, persistently, consistently bring before our Heavenly Father. It means ongoing prayer throughout the day for all those things. And it means that we set aside time to have space and a focus on God and on the needs around us to bring our prayer requests before Him. We could do that individually. Find a quiet little space to pray for things. And we can do that together as a church. As we meet together in the service, as we meet together in a prayer meeting before the service this morning, as we meet together in home groups, prayer is to be consistent and bold and persistent to God for all these things. Now maybe we look back on a time of our lives when we had a healthy and a robust prayer life. Maybe with busyness and with time pressures, we find it harder and harder to maintain that. This is an encouragement to not give up finding those times, finding those spaces and those places to bring those needs before God. It's reminding us throughout the day to keep boldly praying. Be the desperate host after a few loaves of bread with one option: to talk to our Heavenly Father. It's possible that there are things that we've grown tired of praying for. We've prayed for them maybe for many, many years. The story is reminding us, telling us, don't give up. Don't stop. Keep going in prayer. And it's not just for the sake of prayer that we're to do it. We're to keep praying because God answers. That's where Jesus goes next in verse 9. He says, I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. And if you've heard a sermon on this passage before, you've probably heard that this is written in a particular Greek tense, which says, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. Why? Because Jesus says, it will be given. You will find. The door will be open to you. And just in case we miss that or we doubt it, he says almost exactly the same thing in verse 10. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Listen to these from, this is from John. John 15. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you'll go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. And this from 1 John chapter 5. And this is confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us and whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. Keep asking because God hears and God answers. Now, does that mean I can just pray selfishly for whatever I want? Does that mean that we name it and claim it? Just whatever I see, whatever I want, I pray for it, it's going to be given. No. Jesus has just modeled what we are to pray about and pray for. Pray for glory to God's name. We're to pray for his will to be done, his kingdom to expand. We can pray for our daily needs, our provisions. We pray for forgiveness. We pray that he would enable us to forgive others. We pray that he would keep us safe and free from temptation. He would keep us walking close to him. These are not selfish prayers. These are not just seeing anything and wanting it. This is God-centric, Christ-centric prayers. Prayers for God's work and his kingdom and his reign and his rule. And whatever we ask, therefore, in Jesus' name, it will be given to us. Church, are we praying like desperate friends after a couple of loaves of bread with one option only? Those of us who were there last week, we got a little card, didn't we? And we were encouraged to pray for 10 minutes before the service today, over the last couple of days. Did we do it? Did we take just 10 minutes? Oh, we could be busy. I can think of plenty of slots of 10 minutes that would have been better used for prayer for myself. When we knew that it was prayer meeting this morning, then there's lots of legitimate reasons why we might not go. All right, I'm not going to say there isn't. But was there a really pathetic excuse to say, I'm not going to do it this week? Or was there a reason why we didn't put that in our diary like we don't put other important things in our diary? When we're led in prayer from the front, are we praying too? Not are we watching the clock to see how long it goes for. Not are we thinking about what we might have for lunch after. Not are we judging the prayer at a 10, rating it. But are we praying along with being led by the person at the front and praying together as a church? Can we say at the end of that, amen, God, so let it be? Are we desperate? Desperate friends with one option only to bring our needs before God. Well, that's the first story, and that helps us understand how we are to pray. The attitude, the consistency, the persistence in that prayer. We're going to move on to the next story now, which really reminds us why we pray. We've seen part of that answer already, because God answers our prayers. But why does he answer our prayers? Why does he listen to us? Why does he actually listen and answer the prayers of people like you and me? And the answer is very simple. Because he is our good and loving Heavenly Father. Have a look at how the story goes, starting there in verse 11. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? We know, don't we? You know, you don't have to be Father of the Year to not give your kids things that are harmful. Things that are completely opposite of what they give you. Even though we are sinful, weak, evil, as Jesus puts it. How much more, then, he says, will the Heavenly Father? Why does God answer our prayers? Because he is our Heavenly Father. And he is good. This is right how Jesus taught disciples to pray, right there in verse 2. The way that we address God is with the word Father. Now, if you've heard a sermon on this before, you've probably heard that that is a translation of the Greek word pater, which is a translation of the Aramaic word Abba. And if you know one word in Aramaic, my guess, it is the word Abba. And you've probably heard it said that Abba is the way that little children can address their dad. It's daddy. Well, it kind of is. I suggest that that's probably maybe been a little bit overplayed. It's the way that little kids could address their dad. It's the way that older kids could address their dad. It's the way that adult children could address their dad. It simply means dad or father. You see, out of all of the ways that Jesus could have helped us address God, he chose this one. It could have been Sovereign Lord, Almighty, Yahweh. It could have been a host of ways that he could have put here. But he didn't. He put the word Father. Now, in the Old Testament, the idea of God being a father is not completely absent, but it's not very big either. It only occurs about 15 times. In the Gospels, Jesus himself refers to God as Father more than 160 times, just by himself. It's the most common way that Jesus addresses or talks about God the Father, as his Father. And now, he is inviting us to approach, to come before, and to bring our needs before Almighty God as our Father as well. You see, something is changed and is different because of and through Jesus. We are not just God's creatures. We're not strangers. We're not just randoms. We are his loved, chosen, and formally adopted children. And he looks at us like a perfect father looks at his kids. And he delights when his children bring their needs before him. And he hears and he answers. Now, it is kind of strange the way that Jesus finishes off verse 13. Again, not for me to tell Jesus how to tell his stories, but it would be a lot easier if it went, how much more will the Heavenly Father give you better gifts? The right gifts, perfect gifts. But he doesn't. He says, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, why does Jesus talk about the Holy Spirit here? It's because the most precious gift that God can give his children, the gift that is the basis for all of his answers to our prayers, is the Holy Spirit himself. It's the gift that guarantees our place as God's children. It assures us that we are loved by him and we belong to him. It's the gift that is the foundation for every other gift that God will give us as his children. And so we're to pray knowing that God will answer and as a loving Father will pour out his Spirit into our lives. That he will affirm in us and assure us that we are his loved children. That he will equip us and enable us through the Holy Spirit to do all of the things that he's called us to do. That by the Holy Spirit, he will comfort us in times of struggle. He will strengthen us in times of temptation. He will equip us in times where we serve and we minister to each other. Now, those of us who have kids or have observed kids, we know the frustration, don't we, of watching kids do something on their own, which they're just not quite getting right. Kids wanting to use the scissors for the first time. I know you, I'm the hover dad at that point. I have to physically restrain my hands from jumping on in because I just want to help. I just want to do it for them. How often are we, before God, stubborn, stubborn kids who think we can do it on our own, who don't believe that we have a Heavenly Father who loves us, who knows what is good, who knows what is best, and delights to give it to us. We think far too much of ourselves, and then we think far too little of the God who has loved us and the God who has saved us. So we pray as dependent, helpless children to a Heavenly Father who created everything that there is, who holds it all in his hands, who loves us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, who hears and who answers every prayer. Let's pray to him now, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the new standing that we have before you as loved kids, loved by you, set apart by you. Thank you that we can pray knowing that you are our good Father and that you hear us and you delight to answer. Lord God, keep us as a church earnest, bold and persistent in our prayers. When we weary, when we get tired of praying for the same things over and over again, please sustain us, spur us on. Where we're tempted to think that we can do it on our own, we don't need you, show us again and again that we're humble, dependent children. Lord God, please hear. Please answer our prayers, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.